Morning. You guys can take a seat now. Wow. How do you follow that? That was awesome. I want to start by asking a question. What is something that we all own, but everyone else uses? No. Very good. Your name. We all have a name. And it's been said that it's better to have a good name and nothing than to have a bad name and everything. Because your name is not just a label. It's your identity. It's your story, and it's your calling. Names carry weight. Now, we've all heard of different nicknames for different people. Some of them maybe, you know, some of them stick, maybe not for the best reasons. I had a couple that I came across this week. There was a person named MasterCard, because he always takes credit for everything. Another who was nicknamed Gunner, because he's going to do this and going to do that. And one of my favourites was actually a building apprentice who was nicknamed Daisies, because some days he's there, some days he's not. But it's not just people. Brand names have power as well. You could go to the warehouse and get a shirt for $5, plain white shirt. If you go into a boutique store and get the same plain white shirt, but it might just have a wee label or something on it, that same shirt could be worth $50, $100. If you go and get the right brand of car, Johnny probably knows this quite well, the right brand of car can double the price. Why? Because scarcity, maybe as well. But the name adds value. Yeah. Recently, there's a podcast that I... watch, called Lateral. I don't know if any one of you have heard that, but it encourages lateral thinking outside the box. So that what happens is they ask a question, and you've got three other panelists, and they have to figure out what the answer is to that question. So I came across this one a few weeks ago, actually, which I thought was very appropriate for today. So, there was a man in the UK, he's about 19 years old, and his name was Adam. And as a Batman fan, Adam set up his Facebook page as Adam West. Because Adam West was the original Batman, for those of you who know. And he thought, you know, it was a bit of a joke, his mates thought it was pretty cool. Didn't work out so well, though, when his girlfriend's family decided they would all go on a trip overseas. And he was invited along on the trip. So his father-in-law booked all the tickets, and he booked his ticket as Adam West, because that was what he thought his name was. Trouble was, his name obviously wasn't Adam West, it was Adam Armstrong. And obviously, Adam West on his ticket didn't match his passport. So the airlines, you know, in their gracious way, they said, all right, well, we can change it, but it will cost you £220 total to change for both flights each way. Nearly 500 New Zealand dollars. And they wouldn't budge on it. So Adam had a clever idea. Instead of changing the name on his ticket, he went down to the local courthouse and changed his name to Adam West for free. And then fast-tracked a passport in the name Adam West for £100. So for half the price, he was able to get on that flight. It was actually cheaper to change his identity than it was just to change his ticket. But that's the world that we live in. People change their names for convenience or cost. But there's only one name that gives you eternal worth, and that's the name that God places on you. So, let me ask you this. What names have people called you? What names have you called yourself? And what name does God call you? The Bible is full of stories where God changes names. Not to make them sound better, but to reflect the people that they're becoming. He renames people to define their purpose. In Genesis 32, we read about Jacob. Starting in verse 24, it says, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. The name Jacob, as you probably well know, means supplanter or heel catcher. It relates not only to Jacob's birth story, but also his act of tricking his brother out of his birthright. Jacob was a follower. He was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. He was always on the heels of another. And he didn't like it. He knew he was destined for more. But Jacob was who he was created as. When he wrestled with God, though, he was given a new name. Israel literally means one who wrestles with God. It shows that his relationship with God, where he had struggled and strived and contended with God, but ultimately made a commitment to follow God's will, it showed that he valued that and valued a close relationship with God. He stayed close to God and would not even let him go until he was blessed. While Jacob was who he was born as, Israel was who he was formed as. But the interesting thing I found about this as I was reading is that the name Jacob doesn't actually just disappear at that point. Throughout the rest of Jacob's story, throughout the rest of the Bible as it is written, you see both the names Jacob and Israel at different times. Why do we think that is? I believe it could be because, as with all of us, just because we're saved doesn't mean the old of us is completely gone. We have to challenge with it constantly. And maybe in those times where Jacob was named was when he was struggling with the man side of him rather than the God-named side of him. Yeah. God wanted to remind him of what he had done for him, the grace he had received over his sin, and the promise of a spiritual calling under his new name. But both the names Jacob and Israel were redeemed. Both names were saved because of his close relationship with God. If you think about yourself this morning, are you living in the new name that you received when you received Jesus? Or are we still returning to the way we were before, to our old name? Not every name, though, comes from God. Some we try to give to ourselves. Take Naomi, for example. She had just lost her husband and two sons. And in her grief, she was mad at God. In Ruth 1, verse 19, it says, they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Naomi tried to rename herself. She tried to change her name from pleasant, which is what Naomi means, to bitter, which is what Mara means. But in contrast to Jacob, there's no further mention of it after this point. God did not allow her grief and her pain to rename her. He had the final word. While our names reflect our identity, sometimes that identity can be distorted by what we're going through in our lives. The good things, the bad things, the ugly things. Do we define ourselves by our circumstances or by God's promises to us? Do we even know God's promises to us? In the New Testament, we see a man named Simon. He's always got a wee bit of a soft spot for Simon in the Bible, funnily enough. He was renamed to The Rock. He was the original, well before Dwayne Johnson. And I'm not going to ask you to smell what The Rock is cooking this morning. That's fine. But Jesus knew Peter's identity even when he was still Simon, when he recognized who Jesus really was. Matthew 16 tells us that Simon Peter, the disciples were asked the question, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Now, when I was growing up with the same name, I would have loved to be renamed to The Rock. Would have been amazing. Instead, I grew up with siblings who had names like Victory of the People, Pure, Princess. Meanwhile, the name Simon, from what I was told, means snub nose. And that's about the reaction I usually get. So, as a kid, as you would expect, it made me feel a bit less than being named something like snub nose. It made me feel that my name wasn't special at all. But this was just a man-made name, not a God-given name. For Peter, despite receiving his God-given name, only a short time later, his eyes stray back to the things of man and not of God. Only a few verses after what I just read, he gets called something else. In verse 21, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this should never happen to you." But he turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Only a few verses after he'd been called The Rock. In that moment, Peter's eyes were fixed on the things of man, not of God. Jesus still called Peter, and he still called him The Rock, but clearly he wasn't a very stable rock just yet. Maybe God's calling us right now. In fact, I know he's calling us right now. But are we waiting until we're stable before we accept his call? Or are we prepared to step now into the name that he has already called and prepared for us? With my own name, although I grew up with it being Snubnose, I found out that that was actually just the Greek translation. A few years later, I learned in Hebrew that it actually means one who hears, which is much nicer, I think. And that completely changed how I saw my name, because I know that that is actually what God is teaching me more and more in my walk with him, to be one who listens, one who hears. The name the world laughs at might just be the one that God actually wants to use for his purpose. Yeah. And even here in our church, our names speak something. Matthew, your name, if you're aware, means gift of God. Yeah. David, beloved. Allison, where's Allison gone? There she is. Noble or exalted. And Alan, handsome and peaceful. Richie, powerful and brave. Yeah. Paul, where's Paul gone? Hiding. Oh, right there. Humble. So there you go. Very good. Kaya, Sky Diamond, did you know that? And Pure. Darren, got one for you too. Strong, like an oak. There's many more, but those are just a few examples. But every name that we have carries a message. And maybe that message is what God sees in you, even if you can't see it yet. Peter didn't have to earn his name. He received it from God. And when we receive Jesus, the same thing happens to us. We're given a new name as well. In 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us, 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And in Romans 8, verse 14 to 17, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. When we receive Jesus, we're no longer called sinner, rejected, broken, failure. That's not who we are anymore. It's not what we answer to. Ed Delph said it brilliantly the other week. Satan knows your name but calls you by your sin, whereas Jesus knows your sin and calls you by your name. We answer to a new name, his name. Now we are called loved, chosen, adopted, forgiven, healed, free. Our name isn't about status. It's not about prestige or position. It's not about social ranking. It's not about how many likes I can get or how many friends I can get on Facebook or Instagram for the younger ones. Or TikTok even, yeah. Probably should never be about TikTok, to be honest. It's about sonship. We are not merely followers of Christ. We have been adopted into his family. We are called sons and daughters. When you belong to Jesus, your name changes. Not necessarily on paper, but in heaven. His name changes everything. And David understood this better than most. When he faced Goliath, he said to him, "You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord." Yeah. He didn't need to rely on weapons or armor. He had a much greater power to rely on. He was relying on whose name it was that he carried. That's the power of knowing who you are and whose you are. When we face our own giants, whether it's fear, shame, guilt, anxiety, or one of the many other things that we have in our lives today, the world is full of it. You don't just come against it in your name. You come in the name that is above every other name. And the Bible gives Jesus many names, each revealing a part of who he is. He's called Emmanuel, God with us when we feel alone. He's the Prince of Peace when our minds feel anxious. He's the Wonderful Counselor when we don't know where to turn. He's the Good Shepherd if we wander off course and need to be brought back in. He's the Redeemer when we fall short. He's the way, the truth, the life when we lose our own direction. And one day, he'll return and he'll be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every one of those names reveals the nature of Jesus, his identity. And when we carry his name, we carry his authority with us. When God gives us a new name, it's time for us to live like it. He calls us sons and daughters, but do we still live like we're orphans? I mean, we will, as Jacob had, as Peter had, we will have our moments of weakness. Those times when our eyes stray from the things of God to the things of the world around us. It's part of our nature. But we need to stop answering the old labels. We need to move ourselves from snub nose to one who hears and live in that. But how do we live in that new name practically, day by day? Well, Paul's letters are very good for some of this sort of stuff. And in Colossians chapter 3, he tells us we need to put on our new self. In verse 9 it says, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." But what does that actually mean? Well, if we read on from verse 12, it says, "Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." I love what he says here. He has his list. He says compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, Forgiveness sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? Love above all. Seek peace in Christ. Be thankful. Dwell in the Word so that it dwells in you. But then he finishes with, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a great list. But if we're not careful, we could potentially just do the list. We could just check it off. Say, yep, I've been kind today. That's done for the day. I've read my 3 verses and done my word for today. Good enough for me. But God doesn't want just that. Instead, we're called to live in the new self in such a way that the list actually becomes second nature to us. Here's an interesting analogy I came across recently. If you have an apple tree, but it doesn't ever produce apples, what do you call it? It's still an apple tree. It's a useless apple tree, but that's exactly my point. We already have an identity. The identity comes before the activity. We have an identity in Christ. We don't need to do things to become who we want to be. We do them because of who we already are. Yeah. Bob Goff says this, if you take away what you're known for, whatever is left is who you are. Right. That's why what we declare about ourselves matters, because words shape our identity. I've got a few declarations here, and obviously there's a much broader range of people and occupations and everything in this building this morning. But if you've got something along these lines or similar, feel free to declare these in your heart. So what we should say if someone asks us what we do, instead of saying, I paint pictures, you declare, I am an artist. You don't say, I play music or sing in the team. You say, I am a worshipper. Don't just say that you fix cars. Say, I am a restorer of what's been broken. Don't just say, I nurse the sick. Say, I am a healer. Don't just say, I raise children. Say, I am a discipler of the next generation. God doesn't define us by our title or our paycheck or our productivity. We're defined by the name that he's already spoken over us. We're defined not by what we do, but by who we are. Yeah. People might change their name by deed poll for preference, but God changes yours for purpose. And the Bible promises in Revelation that one day he'll give each of us a new name. One that only he and you will know. That's your eternal identity. It started with a story about a man trying to save $500. He changed his name to save a bit of money. But hopefully now we know that the reason God changes names is to save souls. I grew up being told my name meant snub nose. But now I know it means one who listens. And maybe that's all God's asking of us today. To stop listening to the wrong names and start listening to his. So as I finish up, ask yourself this. And I asked some of these questions at the start. What names have you been answering to that God never gave you? What new name is he calling you today? Are you still looking to man's ways? Or are you living in the name that he gave you the moment that you became part of his family? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we break off every name that we have carried that wasn't of you, Father. We break off every false name, everything that the enemy has held over us, Lord. Fear, shame, anger, failure. We place them before you, Lord. We receive the name that you've given us, loved, chosen, redeemed. From now on, Lord, let us go forward in every day, every challenge that we face, every battle that we come across, not in our name, but yours. And you may be here this morning and you haven't made that decision. This may be something new to you. But he's there waiting for you. When you're ready, he will be there. So this morning, if that is you, if you are ready to make that decision to become part of God's family, you don't need any kind of big theatrics or anything like that. It's a simple prayer that we can all pray together. So if that's you in your heart, just pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to save me. I want to know you more. Please come into my life and help me to live in your name and to forget the things of my past. I make you Lord of my life and I honor you from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a great